Well, my first exposure to Malleabout Calculus was a lecture course given by Graham Vincent Smith, based on the book by Keijin Watanabe. This was in the third term of my first year, and it's true to say I think that I found it quite mystifying. In my second year, having completed my qualifying dissertation on a rather dry subject I didn't wish to continue, I was encouraged to get to grips with Malleabout Calculus and given a copy of Strook's paper, The Functional Analytic Approach, which I think I probably found slightly more mystifying. And also had a look at Bismuth's paper. And it was in trying to understand Bismuth's paper and really write it for myself that I first really started to understand Malleabout Calculus.
And this was Vincent Smith who directed you?
He was in fact my supervisor in the first term of my second year when David Edwards was on sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And he was...
I met him several times.
Yes.
I'm just interested how stimulating teacher is he.
I found it quite helpful. Mm-hmm. He was full of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And lots of ideas that didn't come to anything, but still were good ideas.
Okay. And what happened after that?
Well, I suppose writing my own version of Bismuth's paper occupied me for perhaps till the end of my second year. And then I thought, what next? And the obvious next step was to look at the papers that were arriving about Malleabout Calculus for processes with jumps. And I've now sorted out how I would like to write a piece on that, and that will form the second half of my thesis soon.
How does it happen that you moved from Oxford, your beloved Oxford?
Yes. Well, I went to the conference in Swansea. Was it Easter 1983?
I don't remember. It was a conference where I also...
Where I encountered Dave Williams for the first time. And he was good enough to lend me two preprints of Bismuth that had arrived on his desk. And which... one of which formed some raw material from my researches. And... at the beginning of my third year, when I was starting to think about where next, David Kendall was visiting Oxford, and I had a talk with him about what possibilities there were for a career in probability. And one of his strongest suggestions was the move to Swansea. Now, David Edwards wrote to David Williams and explained the situation, and was pleased to find that David Williams was quite enthusiastic about the idea of my moving to Swansea, and so this is what I decided to do.
I see. Yes. Tell me, please, have you some group of young people in Swansea now with whom you can talk mathematics?
Chris Rogers is in Swansea.
Yes, of course.
He
is not very old, but still
yes, a little older than me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there is a student named Peter Donnelly, mm-hmm. who's also working in probability theory, but it's just about as far away from Malleabout Calculus as you can imagine. He's working on mathematical genetics.
Yes,
it's quite. Which is an interesting subject, but the faulty link with Malleabout Calculus, I think, might be quite hard.
Still, this depends on how wide is he. Would he be prepared to listen to your recent progress? Is he interested at least listen about progress in Malleabout Calculus?
I haven't tried him yet.
I see.
But I expect that I shall have to give some seminars on the subject in Swansea, and maybe he'll become interested. And David Williams has a new research student.
Of your age? Or?
No, he's just beginning his DPhil.
From
PhD.
What place?
He is a student who did his first degree in Swansea. He stayed on in Swansea.
Is he good?
I don't know. I haven't talked with him.
I see. No, there exists, of course, reputation, but you don't need to answer if you have no definite opinion about this. Okay. Now let us talk a little bit about future. We talked about past. So in a few months, or 2 months, or 2 weeks, or how much, you would finish your thesis, and what after that?
Well, I hope to... Well, the idea of my being in Swansea is that I should learn from David Williams, and we should collaborate using the ideas of Malivan calculus in the things that he's interested in.
So, let me just understand. What are formal regulations or situations right now? After you defend your thesis, what kind your position at Swansea automatically would be continued for some time, or what?
Yes, I'm really living on false pretenses at Swansea at the moment. The job I have is supposed to be for a postdoctoral worker, but I think I'm allowed a year or maybe 6 months, I'm not sure, before to have this job without my thesis being accepted.
I see, so, but there exists some deadline after which should be...
After which,
renewal.
No more money.
Yes, that's correct. Like, money is the bottom line. So in 6 months or 1 year, I'm not absolutely sure, you would need to make some decision to, I don't know, to apply to some place, or how does it work?
No. I have a position at Swansea for 2 years.
Yes.
However, if for some reason I don't submit my thesis before a year has elapsed,
yes,
there will be problems. However, I've no intention of letting it get that far, so I hope there'll be no problems, and I expect to stay in Swansea for 2 years.
I see. And after that, you have any definite plans or not?
Only vague ideas.
But what, again, is in the case of Martin Barwell, this whom we discussed just no. An abstract situation. And just for a young mathematician like you are, what kind of options are open? What can you do, say?
I think the situation has improved a great deal in the last few years through the new blood scheme. Martin, I told you about this. Which makes the prospects of getting a job in England or Scotland or Wales very much better than they were.
And this is called a lectureship or what?
It's a lectureship, yes. But the position is meant to be primarily a research position for the first 5 years. In which the money comes from the government. After 5 years, the college or university is expected to take on the funding of the post. And at that time, the amount of teaching one is expected to do increases. So, I suppose I would hope to get one of these new blood posts. Other options, of course, are to go abroad.
Which is not so uncommon, or is it quite unusual now?
No, I think certainly when the employment situation was so very bad for young mathematicians, a large proportion who were intent on becoming professional mathematicians did go abroad.
And abroad mostly to the States or to other countries?
Sometimes to Europe, and a friend who went to Italy. Mm-hmm. Mm.
But nowadays this is not a necessity.
Not a necessity, I don't think. But my wife, Julie, I think might find it difficult to fulfil her ambitions if we were abroad.
How long ago have you married?
Not very long. It must be getting on for 2 months, but not quite.
I see.
So she was not very pleased about Oberwolfach coming quite so soon after our marriage.
Of course. What is her occupation?
Well, what you would like to do is to become a minister in the Methodist Church.
But at the moment?
At the moment she's filling in time. She doesn't want to do that yet. She has just finished a degree in theology.
So at the beginning, after the age of 11, you were in a government primary school, yes? Or not?
Until I was 11.
Yes. And after that, this very old, traditional private school. Can you tell me if there exists any observable difference in spirit between these two schools?
Well, certainly there is.
Should be, of course, but what then?
But I think that to compare a primary school to a secondary school anywhere, it's very hard.
But if you compare 11 and 12, that might be not so hard. Anyway, what kind of change was it?
Yeah, I still think that, for example, my sister, who went to the state school,
mm-hmm.
would have found a big change, very much in the same direction as I did when I went from primary to secondary school, in that lessons started to be on a timetable, and we had homework. But it's true that such a change is more exaggerated when you move to an old-fashioned school, a traditional school, and we had to wear a school uniform for the first time.
Was this fun or something which you dislike?
The school uniform?
Yes.
Oh, I think all school children dislike school uniform. It's what one has to. It's like...
I don't know why it would be a matter of pride. For example, Boy Scouts, I believe, should enjoy their uniform.
Oh, but they don't.
They're
No, I was a Boy Scout as well, and I can tell you that.
But the idea, at least, was with Boy Scouts to make them enjoy their... Yes, these Boy Scouts, all kinds of attractions they tried to invent, I suppose.
Yes, and I did enjoy most of my experience there, but I'm not so sure about the uniform. I think that most of the boys... saw it as a necessity and put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a good thing and it may not, but that's the way we thought about it at the time.
I see. Well, it's interesting psychologically. I can imagine, for example, that in the streets you are more restrained if you are in a school uniform because everybody knows and you cannot feel as much at liberty if you are in plain clothes. But in school, in class, what difference does it make?
Well, it's often said that it's a means by which the rich and the poor boys can feel more at one with each other. That
Yes, this is a justification of the uniform, I believe. That, yes, but I am asking something else. You told me that boys do not enjoy wearing the uniform, as I understand correctly.
Oh, I don't. I think that they're glad to get out of it, and if they were given the chance to come to school without it, they would, because they would be rebelling against the system.
I see.
But, well, that's, they don't mind.
Anyway, this is not a great problem, I think.
Oh, I don't think so, no.
I also want to ask you, of course, Great Britain is considered as a place where traditions are maintained to a great extent for centuries, yes?
Oh, yes.
Especially at places I talked to some of my colleagues who went to Charterhouse, do you know such a school? I never talked to anybody from Eton, actually. I don't know if there are mathematicians who went to Eton.
Perhaps they only breed classical scholars at Eton.
Anyway, and they told me that all kind of traditions from 16th century were maintained in these old schools. Some of them good, some of them might be out of date, and so on.
Yes, but I don't think we had anything dating quite that far back. Mm-hmm. I think.
Were you proud that you have belonged to such an old institution?
Not at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that one feels that tradition, well, I didn't feel the tradition at the time. Looking back, I suppose.
It was fine.
It was a good school.
Mm-hmm. What kind of relations between masters, it is called in England, yes, and
yes.
Pupils, I know mostly from Masterpiece Theatre.
Tom Brown's school days,
Tom
Brown's
school days as well, but recently it was a very good series. Very bad his names about a private which means public school.
Mm-hmm.
This Masterpiece Theatre, really nice one. But anyway, also what kind of relations between new boys and sixth formers? Is this correct?
The sixth formers, yes. The last 2 years.
Yes, prefects.
Yes, it's not as depicted in the films of the public schools. There wasn't fagging.
Mm-hmm.
The first formers were not forced to clean the shoes and do.
But because this was not a boarding school, so probably it would be difficult even to arrange. How could be arranged?
Yes,
actually, by an advice of Vincent Smith after. Swansea,
mm-hmm.
in London, I went to see a very nice play at Queen's Theatre, I think. Queen's Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
This was the other country or another country, and this was about a public school, and the history was actually of the boys who became Soviet spies. Later, of course. Do you know this famous story about Philby and...
Oh, yes, everyone knows.
Ferguson.
Yes.
Somebody else.
Anthony Blunt.
Yes, yes. Have you seen this play? No.
No.
So they, by the way, show there also a bit of new boy who is scared and brings something to wash hands for this, but this is of course, first of all, this was much long ago, and secondly, this was a boarding school, and so on.
Yes.
But still, some power these prefects had.
Yes, the prefects were used to discipline the. The
Have you
boys.
Been a prefect at some stage?
No, I failed to be appointed as a prefect.
I don't know why, but. My acquaintances among mathematicians usually did not qualify for this job.
No, I wonder why.
I did not like it, I don't know. Okay. And what was... first of all, I want to understand. Sixth form, this is not just 1 year. This is 2 or 3 years. Or
two years.
To 17 and 18, yes? Generally.
Yes, yes. One always has one's 17th and 18th birthday in the year, mm-hmm. with during the sixth form. I was for most part 16 and 17, but mm-hmm. my birthday is late, so that's why.
I see. So what their duties are?
The prefects?
Yes.
There is a prefect assigned to each class.
Yes.
Responsible for...
Means junior classes also, and senior class, all classes.
Oh, until the fifth form. The sixth form have...
And class means how many boys?
30.
Okay, so what was their responsibility?
They had to arrive in the class in the morning and generally keep order. And sometimes take the register of names. And if the class had to meet at any other time of the day, then the prefect might be asked to be there. And besides that, not all prefects were class prefects. There were some who had duties of patrolling around the school, making sure that no one was up to mischief.
And what they were supposed to do in the case of any problem, to report to masters, to principal, or to take measures by their own, or what?
I think that a lot of smaller matters were dealt with on the prefect's initiative. You were discussing the forms of punishment. You could either be kept in for an hour, you couldn't go home for an hour
after school, classes.
Or sometimes you had to tidy up the school, go and sweep the leaves, or
I didn't understand.
It was known as community service.
Oh, I see.
Community being the school.
I see. So you clean or something like that.
Yes.
Yes, that's quite common, I think, everywhere. This is also similar to army, I think. That's standard, very mild disciplinary measure.
So there was at one time, I think, they didn't think these punishments were severe enough, and something called the punishment squad was instituted. But I think that they thought better of it after a while. The PE teacher took charge of the punishment squad, and he was supposed to do some sort of physical exercises to correct you. Sorry?
Punishment squad means a group of boys who were punished or who...
Who were punished,
who
yes.
Were punished.
Yes, it wasn't a bunch of stormtroopers who were trying to punish him.
Yes, because you know, in police... there are some homicide squad, for example, but this is not a group of people who kill. There are people who investigate homicides. Yes. So this was the reason that I didn't understand. But what does it mean practically, this punishment squad?
My knowledge of it is very vague, because I was a very good boy, you see.
Yes, of course, but I'm sure that you're a very good boy. But good boys, live among other boys, and probably these kind of things are not considered. No, I simply do not understand. This is something just for a short period of time, this punishment.
Oh yes, but if you're naughty 1 week, then you might be, you might have to go and do some running or something that you didn't like.
Okay, of course, in these best traditions of old schools, there are also corporal punishments. What about your school?
Very rarely.
But they were a part of...
I suppose that the threat of the cane was there. but very, very rarely used.
Yes, this was not something for every day.
I think most of the teachers disapproved of its use, and so as not to cause friction.
And this has been done by masters or by?
No, only by the headmaster.
Only by headmaster, mm-hmm. And under exceptional.
Yes, well, they were very keen to stop people smoking, and the cane was used for that sometimes.
Smoking?
Yes.
What about drugs? Was this a problem or not?
When I was in the younger years, I think there was some problem in the sixth form. I think some boys were expelled from school.
Yes.
But while I was in the sixth form, nobody found any drugs, whether there were any there, I don't know. But.
No, but let us be more specific. For example, have you have you seen or heard or knew among your classmates boys who smoke marijuana or something like that?
Not for sure. No, I'm very naive on these matters, and I don't know whether I would know it if I saw it.
That's what I see. Because I ask my graduate students at Carmel University, very also very good boys, of course.
Yes, and but, they all smoke marijuana.
But they told this in America. It was quite
yes.
common.
Yes, I'm sure some people I'm at the university have. I mean, their friends have talked about.
But you never say attended a party where somebody have done this.
Oh, I expect so, yes.
But anyway, this is not a great... I suppose that this is not as big problem in England as in the United States. In the United States, this is a problem. Especially in good schools, I don't know.
No, I don't think it's used as much in England as the States, but I don't know.
But just one question more. What would be considered a proper thing? Teacher's parents relation. If some disciplinary problems with some boy, or problems with his academic performance.
Mm-hmm.
Are parents usually informed about these problems immediately and asked to take some measures, or is this considered the responsibility of the school, except of course extreme cases?
I think that the school I went to were very keen to keep the parents out of it. Sometimes when my parents decided that I would do something, the school resented that. And so I think that the feeling in the school was that they would try to do it by themselves. Though I believe that some boys who were not very keen to do homework were lazy. There was some sort of system arranged with the parents to keep a check on them. Of course, this varies very much from school to school.
And in your school?
Well, in my school, being a school which was selected, there was always the threat that a boy would not be allowed to continue at the school. And so this has considerable effect. Parents would be very keen that the boy should remain at the school, I would imagine. So without prompting from the school, I'm sure they would encourage him to do his homework.
Yes, of course. But, for example, for offences... say in the Soviet Union,
yes.
This is a main actually disciplinary measure. Officially, of course, no caning or corporal punishments are permitted in Soviet schools.
Mm-hmm.
But standard procedure is that if a girl or a boy misbehaves, then they write a message to parents or just invite parents. And in many cases, in most cases even, it means some kind of punishment from parents. So this is a standard way. And this is the way to control people. Would you say that something similar existed in your school or not?
I don't think it was as organized as that. I'm sure that parents found out when their boys were not being as good as they might be. Well, if you're kept in after school, why were you an hour late coming home? They find out. And, well, I don't know.
But there were no special channels of reporting.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What was attitude of boys, if somebody was caned at principal, were they sympathetic or indifferent or curious or...
Well, I think it was that those who were caned became heroes.
Heroes.
Yes, such as the schoolboy mentality.
No, this depends, of course, on tradition.
It was considered quite big to have had the cane. Mm-hmm.
So he was a hero.
Yeah.
But this happens, once a week, once a month, once a year, or approximately. How? Roughly.
Very roughly, because I.
Of course, you have not kept records, but...
Yes, on a sample of one, never, but in my class, which had about 30, I would think perhaps on three occasions in the year, once a term, someone would be caned. Just to keep the memory of it in people's minds.
I see. What is your personal opinion? Was this... good for boys or bad for boys?
Cool for punishment.
Yes.
No, I think it's a bad idea.
So you would be in favor of complete abolishment of this kind of punishment? Because in America, for example, there exists a great variety of points of view, and I mean, of course, not among people who are responsible, because this is the responsibility of every school district, actually, and it is very diverse.
I don't know whether I really feel sort of qualified to say. I mean, the problems of keeping discipline in a school must be very, very difficult ones. And, well,
in America, of course.
Maybe there's a case to be made up, but I think that at my school, that the use of it was not productive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the fact that it was in people's minds, maybe that had a beneficial effect. When it was actually used, I'm sure that it wasn't to good effect.
You mean it could be beneficial for people, for other people, but not for people who actually were...
I think on the occasions of its use,
mm-hmm.
it definitely had a bad effect.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps that could be borne, given that the threat of it had a good effect.
But such is
a slippery argument.
No, actually, these arguments are applicable to nuclear war, to a bomb.
Yes, that thought passed my mind as well.
Yes, definitely using a bomb is evil, but deterrence, you know.
It's arguable.
Everything is based on... Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and just switching completely the subject, how intellectual are pupils in your school and also at Oxford? How wide interest in literature, in music or sports, or what kind of interest people had?
At school, I think there wasn't any great feeling of being intellectuals. It was The spirit was anti-intellectual rather than intellectual. If you appeared to be over-studious, you were lampooned. Sports, of course.
Well, sports, probably in England in general, as in the United States as well, is very important for prestige of a particular student.
Mm-hmm. And, well, all the things that make up youth culture, pop music and clothes and so on.
Clothes, but you wear...
A school uniform, yes.
Yes, so... what kind of clothes? What was it possible?
Well, this wouldn't have been in school, though we were allowed a certain amount of freedom in the sixth form, mm-hmm. but not very much.
Mm-hmm. Have you read a lot of the period of your life, or not?
As gradually, I've read a number of things. Yes, I keep reading the odd books and the number amounts.
I just want to compare generations.
Yes.
As a young boy, I don't know, at the age of 11, 10, 12, have you read a lot, or would at that time you preferred to watch TV, movie, and so on?
I'm sure that TV has reduced the amount that the generation has read. Plenty of books as well.
Okay, so let me be more specific. For example, was Shakespeare your favorite reading, or you have done this only under pressure?
No, I do enjoy listening to Shakespeare. Not very often, but sometimes.
Or say any classical poetry.
And I've never really been a poetry fan.
I see.
Maybe I respect poetry. I think that maybe sometime I should read some, but I haven't yet.
Have you read any books of famous Russian authors?
Yes, I'm a fan of Dostoevsky.
What have you read?
Crime and Punishment, and Idiot, and The Brothers Karamazov.
At what age?
Oh, not very long ago, 2 years ago, I read Crime and Punishment.
And you have enjoyed it?
Very much so, yes.
That's great, of course, literature. Have you read Tolstoy?
No, not at Tolstoy. I think that's just about all the Russian literature. Pasternak.
Pasternak?
Yes, that's...
But, Dr. Zhivago?
Yes, that's not quite of the same caliber.
No, but he's one of... the best writers of this century in Russia.
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. Have you read Solzhenitsyn?
Yes.
You studied it in school.
Yes.
I believe you have mentioned when in general discussion once.
Yes, the day in the life of Ivan Denisovich.
Yes, but usually, I don't know about your school, but usually if school children are requested to study some piece of literature, they simply cannot enjoy this piece of literature.
I think it stands to the credit of my English teacher that I did enjoy my English literature. He was very relaxed about it, and he didn't force us to learn the essays. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed all three books that we read. It was a joke at the time, because the exam that we were training for was English literature. So, of course, we read Solzhenitsyn, Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird, Southern United States, and finally Sided with Rosie, which was English literature. Mm-hmm. But no Shakespeare.
probably, what about Dickens? Have you read Dickens?
Yes, of course.
I just wonder, I mentioned when also this general discussion.
Very popular in Russia.
Yes, and I have was very enthusiastic at the age of 10 or 11. Mm. I read a lot, Dombey and Son, and Little Dorrit, and Oliver Twist, and all kinds of things, Nickleby. Do children in England enjoy this kind of literature now?
Yes, they do.
Still.
I find those books, so after reading a book of Dickens, I don't want to read any more for a time, because it's literature for... It doesn't seem... they're good stories, but they're not relevant to today, really.
It's, of course, it's not, but it's historical.
Yes, but Dostoevsky is also out of date, but he seems to be addressing problems that are still...
Yes, he's deeper in the sense of psychology of human behavior and so on. And who are your favorite writers? If you can answer to this question. Do you read a lot now, or not so much?
Oh, same as always have. My favourite authors. I can't say. Sometimes I very much enjoy a book.
What about detective stories?
Not really, no. No, not Agatha Christie or...
I have some. Here, this is not too bad.